Welcome to the MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church Tensions Podcast with Pastor Ricky Primrose, designed to help you navigate current issues as kingdom citizens. In each episode, Pastor Ricky will tackle a current topic or an event that creates tension within Christians who live in a world that is not our home. Written articles for each episode are available on our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org/tensions.
Well, welcome to part two of the April edition of the Tensions Podcast, where we are looking at finding the right hills to die on, looking at the topics of Christian unity and cooperation. If you have missed part one, go back and listen to it first. Part two is going to make more sense if you hear part one first. But we are asking the question, how do we balance this tension that we feel between our convictions that we hold tightly to, and oftentimes rightly so, and then also our desire to cooperate with other believers, sometimes who see things a little bit differently than we do. I'm given just a few principles on how to balance that tension. And the first was that I gave you in part one was that we should be careful to avoid the extremes of unnecessary separatism, which separates over from other Christians over every little disagreement, and also avoiding the extreme of what I called convictional minimalism, which really minimizes the significance of doctrinal convictions altogether. And I said the way in which you avoid these two extremes is by being able to distinguish between different orders of belief, maintaining the right mindset for each order. I introduced the concept of theological triage, which seeks to prioritize Christian beliefs and convictions to help us make judgments for when we should allow for freedom of disagreement or when separation is needed. We looked at or introduced the concept of first rank, second rank, and third rank Christian beliefs. And we want to kind of define what each of those categories of belief are and talk about the right mindset for each. We did that for first rank doctrines in part one. These are doctrines that are essential to the gospel itself, where courage and conviction is needed. I want to pick up right there by looking at second rank doctrines. These are beliefs that are urgent for the health and practice of the church. All right, they are significant enough that they frequently cause Christians to separate, at least at the level of the local church and denominational partnership, okay? So good and well-meaning Christians may differ on certain second-rank doctrines and still maintain a healthy and charitable relationship. However, the nature of second-rank doctrines will make partnering in the same church extremely difficult when these types of differences are present. Let me give you an example of this. A great example of a second-rank doctrine is related to the doctrine of baptism and whether or not infants should be baptized. All right, some Christians believe infants of believing parents should be baptized as a sign of their inclusion within the covenant community. Other Christians believe that baptism should be reserved for believers only. All right. While it would be inappropriate to declare that our Presbyterian brothers and sisters who affirm infant baptisms are heretics, that's not an appropriate label to use in this instance. Nevertheless, the difference between a baptizing church and a Presbyterian church, for example, is urgent enough that partnering together within the same local church would be almost impossible, right? Because at the end of the day, the decision has to be made. Are we going to baptize babies or aren't we? All right. Another example of a second rank doctrine would be the belief regarding whether or not the Bible allows women to serve as ordained pastors within the church. Okay. So these are doctrines that are not essential to the gospel. They are not boundary markers for orthodoxy and heresy, but they're significant, they're urgent enough that if we disagree, man, it's going to be hard for us to partner in the same local church together. The right mindset when approaching second-rank doctrines would include the mindset of wisdom and balance. All right, wisdom and balance. Of all three of these categories of belief, first rank, second rank, third rank. Second rank doctrines are probably the most difficult to identify, which is why wisdom and balance is needed. There are many instances when we should courageously defend second rank doctrines. It would be foolish for a church to yield its conviction on baptism, for example, merely to make room for those who practice infant baptism or believer's baptism, right? Baptism is one of the two ordinances that Christ gave his church. We should be courageous and be firm in our convictions there. However, because credo Baptists, those who affirm believer's baptism, and paedo Baptists, those who affirm infant baptism, because they both believe in and proclaim the same gospel, there remains a high degree of cooperation between the two groups that's available for gospel ministry within a city or within a community. Even though they may not be in the same local church together, man, they can partner in a lot of ways for the sake of the gospel outside the local church. This leads us finally to third rank doctrines. Third rank doctrines are beliefs that are important, since every doctrine taught in the Bible is important, but they're not significant enough to justify separation or division, even within a local church. In other words, members of the same church can disagree on these issues that fall into this category of third rank doctrines and still maintain really harmonious and loving partnerships with one another. So examples of third rank doctrines would include details surrounding God's sovereignty and salvation, many issues related to the availability of miraculous gifts today, the relationship between the church and the nation of Israel, the nature and the timing of Jesus' millennial reign, the age of the earth, you know, just to name a few. The right mindset with these types of doctrines would be circumspection and restraint. Circumspection and restraint. If a Christian finds themselves unusually angry over a disagreement about a third rank belief, some self-reflection is probably needed there to consider, where's that anger coming from? Unless there are unhealthy practices flowing from these beliefs that are damaging the church, it is very rarely wise to contend or to divide within a church over a third rank belief. Humble restraint is always in order within this category. Regrettably, many of the doctrinal and even ideological squabbles within Christians and churches today fall into this final category of third-rank doctrines, resulting, in my opinion, in unnecessary division and contention within churches and certainly within broader evangelicalism. You know, it's important to recognize, we talk about theological triage, that not every doctrine fits neatly into one of these three categories. The reality is that there's really a spectrum of doctrinal importance, and thus some beliefs we might conclude are really on the border between one category and another. A theological triage should not become a subjective exercise where judgments are made merely based upon one's personal feelings over an issue, okay? There are some objective criteria that we should consider when evaluating the priority of various beliefs and what rank, what category they fall into. Is this third rank, first rank, second rank? Or is this a high second rank, a low second rank? Where does this fall on the spectrum of theological beliefs? Here's a few questions to consider. First of all, how clear is the Bible on this issue? The more clarity the Bible gives, the higher the rank may be. Another question, what is the importance of this doctrine or this issue to the gospel? The further away from the gospel that an issue or a doctrine goes, the lower it should go on our degree of prioritization as we're engaging in theological triage. Another question, what is the testimony of the historical church concerning this matter? What is the history of the church believed on this issue? Has there been a relatively unified voice over the 2000 history of the church on a particular issue? And if so, that issue is probably of a higher priority. And finally, What is the practical effect upon the church today? A really important question, particularly when you're discerning those second-rank doctrines. Practically, if we disagree on this, how difficult is it going to be for us to do ministry within the same local church? This framework of theological triage, I want to say up front, will very likely not solve all of our problems or questions surrounding Christian unity and cooperation. But it does hopefully provide a helpful starting point for and a framework for considering when to dig in your heels and when to demonstrate humble restraint. And it is on this matter of humility that I want to conclude. The final encouragement that I want to give you on this topic of Christian unity and cooperation is to practice humility in everything. Practice humility in everything. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind." It is difficult to think of qualities that are more needed today than these qualities listed by Peter, especially that of having a humble mind. Beyond practical frameworks and categories of theological triage, the quality of humble-mindedness is what is going to matter most when it comes to Christian unity and cooperation. Now listen, having a humble mind does not imply compromising truth. It does, however, acknowledge the possibility that your beliefs are fallible and should always be evaluated against God's Word. It acknowledges that we all have something to learn from those with whom we disagree, and that we should work through the issues in the context of Christian community. As one author puts it, quote, "Humility teaches us to navigate life with sensitivity to the distinction between what we don't know and what we don't know that we don't know," end quote. If we are willing to embrace the possibility that we may be less than perfectly right on certain issues, it's going to lead us to engage with careful listening, a willingness to learn, an openness to receiving new information, and a willingness to adjust our perspectives. Another quote says, "Pride makes us stagnant, but humility makes us nimble." That's an important thought. God's people must have a zeal for theology and biblical conviction, but our zeal for theology should never exceed our zeal for unity in our actual brothers and sisters in Christ. We must pursue both gospel doctrine and gospel culture. And a gospel culture is gracious, cooperative, and humble. Its opposite is harsh, unnecessarily rigid, and pridefully stubborn. Listen, I acknowledge that performing theological triage can be really hard. Some issues are more simple to evaluate. We die on the hill of Christ's divinity, for example. We do not die on the hill of a post-tribulation rapture. Other issues are not nearly as clear. For example, how much convictional alignment is necessary within a church on issues related to cultural engagement, ethical issues, the appropriate way to address racism, and other issues that churches are dealing with today. Nevertheless, I hope that the framework we've discussed here provides a helpful resource to address these questions and clarifies unhealthy extremes that we should avoid. You know, in many ways, I created the Tensions resource so that we can work through many of these complex issues together. And as we do, I pray that we will take our stand on the gospel that unifies us and proceed forward comfortable managing the tension we feel between courage and humility, because it's within that tension that wisdom is found. I want to thank you for listening to the Tensions podcast. For a written copy of this episode or for more information on MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church, please visit our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org.